Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. We are in the heat of March Madness right now. It is the middle of a first four game right now to my left. Not a big one. We won't get into it, but we have so much to get into. We have first round matchups. We have upset watches. We have who you need to be looking for to actually win the whole thing. Davis is our guy on all this stuff. We'll get to it, all that starting right now. Davis, welcome back to the podcast. We have a loaded show for the people today.
Yes, we do. It's officially madness time. It's crazy. Yeah,
it's that time of year.
It's crazy we're already here.
I was thinking about it today and like in my heart of hearts, we're thinking about like my true human emotions. Like I think this is up there with like my favorite holidays, truly. Like Christmas is a huge one for me. I think it's my favorite holiday. But March Madness, like you get that feeling where you're like, oh, the selection show. Oh, some first four, a little NIT maybe on Tuesday, Wednesday. But on Tuesday, Wednesday night, we get these first four matchups. The first one last night, South Alabama and I don't remember the other team, to be honest.
Close. Alabama State, St. Francis. Crazy, yes. Hail Mary there at the end of the game.
Yes, that's what I was trying to get to.
Ethan knows this more than anybody because it just happened and I texted him about it. I cannot stand the half court, the long full court heave tied game. Yep. But it actually worked for Alabama State. They ended up winning. Good for them. They beat San Francisco. Yes. And then North Carolina just decided to put on a show. First team in March Madness history to shoot 50% from the field, 50% from behind the arc. There was 90% from the free throw line and score 95 points. That's the first time ever that happened.
So I know we're not part of the mainstream media, but should we take this time to complain about North Carolina being in? And the AD being the chair of the committee, or is UNC justified?
That's ridiculous. The AD, he had to walk out of the room every time they talked about North Carolina. He got $106,000 bonus for them getting in. But even
just for them getting in, he did. Not the school, he did.
Let me tell you something that I don't think you're going to like to hear. I think North Carolina deserved to get in.
I do too. That no semifinal against Duke was worthy of them getting in.
They would have been the highest ranked net team to ever not make March Madness.
People don't like the Blue Bloods. I understand it, especially in college basketball.
But I do. I'm cool with it. Like it's like
I understand.
It's like the fact that I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Which one you didn't over UNC? Indiana, really? Indiana's on a down year. They're about to lose their coach to retirement. West Virginia, who, if you want to look up some conspiracy theories, West Virginia fans are very mad for not making the tournament.
Yeah.
And then the next day, they lost their coach to Indiana. Who, there's some crazy conspiracy theories that the son of the head coach who went to West Virginia with him missed or played the exact games you need to then be qualified for a redshirt season, mysteriously got some like shoulder surgery, yep, and was shown on the sidelines moving his arm a little bit freer than he should. Indiana fans are smelling a conspiracy that they tried to get to Indiana this whole time because West Virginia and Indiana played in battle for Atlantis. Yep. I mean, these fans are not happy, Davis.
I'll tell you this. Before we really get into it, you're talking about conspiracy theories. I don't know if you've heard this one. I heard this one for the first time this week, actually, about West Virginia. They actually sued the NCAA 2 years ago over a basketball player redshirting, basically because he was transferring over to West Virginia. He wasn't eligible to play, so they were like, hey, we should be able to get a free redshirt on him. The NCAA said no. West Virginia sued him, and West Virginia actually won the lawsuit. Really? So people are saying, Maybe the NCAA doesn't have as goldfish of a memory as we thought they did, and they remember being sued,
yeah,
and decided to go with North Carolina over West Virginia.
They did, and I mean, all this stuff about the AD aside, I think UNC deserved to get in, and like they got some really good seniors, especially RJ Davis,
yeah, phenomenal.
RJ Davis, he's phenomenal. He deserves one more chance. That coach is really good, honestly. I really like
him. Yeah, Hubert Davis. He's a fan.
They're always going to be within contention. But let's not debate about who's in and who's out, Davis. I think the bigger point of contention and controversy and all this is the seeding. The seedings.
Yeah.
Some of these teams is all over the place. Like Louisville being an 8 seed is ridiculous. I saw some crazy stats about some other weird seedings today, like Wisconsin and Michigan, like being, or sorry, Michigan specifically winning the Big Ten and being seeded, I think, 5 is ridiculous.
It is.
It's, and then Purdue's ahead of them, who they beat. Wisconsin is ahead of them, who they beat. So, like, a lot of, like, did the committee just go to sleep on Friday night and hand in their ballots? Like,
that's what I was just going to say. I think they absolutely did. 100%. Because Michigan got a 5 seed, and they got the worst draw as a 5 seed by getting probably the best mid-major out there in UC San Diego.
Yep.
But then you're seeing Purdue playing a team in High Point, and we're also seeing a loaded side of the bracket in the West, where 3 of the 6 30 win teams this year are in the same side of the bracket. That makes no sense to me.
Nope.
We could talk about it for hours, Ethan, but it's hard. You know, let's get into the brackets.
Let's get into it, because I actually have a thing. High Point and Purdue, Davis. High Point has not played a quad one team in 2 years, and we'll probably pick them to beat Purdue. And I also heard that High Point didn't want to play Purdue out of like all of these teams. It's a matchup nightmare for them, so just want to maybe kill some of your bracket busters if you have High Point being in Purdue right now. But, hey, if you're a High Point student, you got to rock with your guys, because High Point students live a college / country club lifestyle down there.
Yeah, that's the dream.
Apparently, if you subscribe to their meal plan down there, there's like a free ice cream truck that comes around the campus.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sign me up.
What?
I'm in.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, at Penn State, we had the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile that would go around campus. I kid you not. I would see it everywhere. I kid you not. We're getting hot dogs, and they're not even free, and they get ice cream. I don't know. Doesn't make
That's
sense.
That's crazy, right? Isn't that nuts? But I thought that was so funny.
That makes me angry. I need to start giving recommendations to students, juniors in high school, like, go to High Point.
Well, that is if you can afford the $70,000 tuition.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. All right, Davis, let's get into the big games for the next 2 days. So the ones on the left are the games Thursday, tomorrow, or today if you're watching this, I guess. And then the ones on the right are Friday. So Davis and I came with the top 5 games from each side. Obviously, we just talked about Purdue and High Point, and they're not even up here. So there are going to be some games that we're missing. You know, comment on Instagram if you have any questions or stuff like that. But these are the games of the weekend, Davis. And let's just start with the first one, the top left, because it is the first game of the tournament. It's the first one to start on Thursday afternoon. It is Louisville and it is Creighton. Battle of the Birds at noon, live from Lexington. Not really, because Lexington and Louisville don't really get along. But it's a bit of a home court advantage for Louisville. They got probably some home fans there. But, you know, we're talking about this with the group chat today, our little side group chat, me, you, and some other people, Davis. We're talking about this Louisville-Creighton game, and I already took my side. I'm not a Creighton guy because I'm a Villanova fan, but I really don't think Creighton can hang with Louisville. Louisville was really disrespected at seed-wise. And then Creighton, like, they're a really good team. Ashworth can shoot the ball lights out. Kalkbrenner is going to be, like, an insane stretch 4 in the NBA probably, but he's not a 5. He's not a pure 5, and I think he gets out-rebounded down the stretch a lot more, but I'm all over the Cardinals. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I took Louisville in this one. I feel like Creighton is getting a lot of love right now just because they made it like through 2 rounds in the Big East, and they beat who'd they beat?
UConn.
They beat UConn. I don't know. I don't find that being extremely impressive.
2 especially, overtimes with DePaul.
Yeah. Especially because, I mean, if you look in the middle of the season, if this game was being played, and it sounds crazy because Louisville has been on a crazy run the last 2 months, but I'll tell you this, and I'll tell you, the way I try to think of these things is, if there wasn't a number beside these teams and it wasn't March Madness, what would people think? And this spread would be over 5.5, I think, on Louisville's side. But just because it's an 8-9 game, I think they have to move it down a little bit because they know, you know, books know that they're going to get dog love no matter what. So I do think Louisville wins this game. I wouldn't say handedly, but this is the first game on the slate. And we've seen in previous years that you never know what's going to happen on that first game of the Thursday slate.
Yeah, and then I also want to bring up, speaking of another team playing tomorrow, Louisville's ACC brother, Clemson. I just want to throw – I think the ACC is getting hated a little bit too much. Obviously, the whole conference is not very strong. But, like, people are trying to crap on Duke the whole year, excuse me, for not playing anybody, when I think you know, losing to Clemson was a big loss. Like Clemson went to the Elite Eight last year. What, right? Like they were really, really good. They just extended their coach today. They're becoming quietly another like all around athletic school. Like some of these teams are that you thought were football schools. They're a talented basketball school. They're what, a 5 seed heading into a matchup with McNeese, who actually just lost their coach, who agreed to a deal with NC State today. So who knows? But I just want to throw out here, Davis, I think the ACC is getting a little bit too much hate.
Yeah, I agree. Especially looking at, let's look at last year, and let's even talk about Clemson a little more. They made the Elite Eight last year and actually probably got better this year. They are a team that were, they were hot to start the year, kind of had a slow middle and kind of started picking back up towards the end. I think that you, sometimes for some of these games and when you're making your brackets, you have to look at recent form. That's usually, that's how I typically like to look at my brackets. And Clemson has been really good recently. They just beat Duke back in early February, I believe. And I'm taking Clemson. I think that is a game I'm very confident in. I do think they pretty much wiped the floor off McNeese, especially with McNeese not having a coach, basically, or at least a coach that mentally isn't there. I have Clemson winning that game.
Oh, and, whoa. That's whoa. Fair. I mean, I think he's going to be in it. It's a tournament game. Like,
I don't know. Clemson's, you know, Clemson's Will Wade's alma mater.
I did not.
Yep. There's no way. Like, okay. I don't get it. He's already quit on his team, so I'm out on that. I think Clemson needs some 10 plus.
I like it. That's the bonus pick for the day.
Like NC State made the Final Four last year. That was a wild run that they had with DJ Burns. But I think this ACC group is pretty decent, and I see two wins out of them in Louisville and Clemson in the round one.
I like it. So for these next two games, though, two SEC teams who are middle of the road, Arkansas and Missouri, facing a couple of tournament regulars. I know Drake is not the best team, but they've been in the tournament what feels like every year now.
Yep.
I think they've lost 3 straight tournaments in a row, though, so we'll see. But Missouri is, and Arkansas are two very middle-of-the-road SEC teams who have been, you know, getting killed by the big dogs of the SEC most of the year. People probably been disrespecting them a little bit, especially Arkansas and Coach Cal. But can they – either one of these teams make noise past the first round, let's say?
I'd say no. That's a great question. I like that you phrased it that way, because I would give you a definitive no. Okay. I think with this first game, the spread in that Missouri-Drake game, 6.5. I took Drake plus 6.5, but strictly because of the way these two teams play, I think this is going to be a very slow-paced game. And I just think
they're both last in the country in tempo, right?
Drake is definitely last. But I think that, you know, when you're talking 6 points in a low-scoring game, that's a lot to give up. So I took the plus 6.5 with Drake.
I like that.
But I think either way, either of these teams gets knocked out in the next round. And talking about below, we could see a Calipari-Rick Pitino round two matchup if Arkansas can pull it off. But this is a game
that's what everyone's crossing the fingers for.
I've been flipping back and forth on this one a lot, especially with Arkansas. They have been really good as of late. They've been without their guard, Boogie Flans, but he's actually coming back.
What a name.
I think it hurts them that he's coming back. It sounds weird, but they've been in such a good groove. I don't know. I've had Arkansas winning this whole week, but I might flip it over. But betting-wise, I do have Arkansas plus 5.5. I think it's, again, too many points.
Yeah, I have Kansas straight up. I'm not going to lie. Like, this is just a game where I think experience wins. And straight up, I think Hunter Dickinson's the best player on the court. And I don't think they're going to go far, like you just said. I don't think Kansas, Arkansas, Missouri, or Drake get past the first weekend.
Yeah.
But Hunter Dickinson deserves one tournament win from transferring to Kansas. And it would be devastating for them to lose first round 2 years in a row.
They didn't lose first round last year. They almost did. They almost lost to Samford last year on a BOGO.
They lost in second round to who?
They lost to – I'm not sure off the top of my head, but they lost to Samford on a game where they got called on – Samford got a foul called on them on something that was not a foul, and it was ridiculous. And Samford won that game.
Okay. Yeah, I think these teams are kind of just middle of the road. We'll see. Maybe Bill Self or Calipari goes on a roll. Who knows? But this next one, BYU and VCU, VCU known as the Coach Factory, Davis. They just get coaches and then they leave within 4 to 5 years. They had Shaka Smart all those years ago, and now they have their current coach, Ryan Odom, who looks like he's poised to go to West.
Don't forget about their previous coach, Mike Rhodes, coach of Penn State.
Obviously, the current Penn State coach. But their current coach, I think, is slated to be the Virginia coach next year. So, I mean, another thing, we could look to the McNeese thing where it's like, hey, is he on his way out? But I don't think he's officially accepted it yet, so he's focused on this game, Davis. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I've heard some people sending BYU to the Elite Eight in this bracket, in this region. Can that happen, or can they get upset first round?
I think both. I think it could happen. I think it could happen. But I don't know. I have VCU winning this game.
I should do too.
This is a contrasting game of offense versus defense, and I think defense wins, especially when VCU can slow the pace down so well. I have VCU winning, especially with BYU. They were hot in the middle of the year when they beat Arizona and they beat some high level teams, but I don't know that I wasn't super impressed by them in the Big 12 tournament. And towards the end of the year, they roughed up Iowa State team in early March too. I don't know. I have VCU winning. I think that the defense holds up, and I could see this game being 56-54 VCU. Clip that score right now, because that's what I see the score being.
By the way, just something to keep your tab on for the future. BYU paid their number one recruit next year's class $7 million.
Wow, he's so good.
He's so good. AJ Dibonsa,
yeah.
I think. I'm doing it injustice. But BYU is going to be really good next year and probably for the next couple of years, because they have NIL money out the wazoo. So
those Mormons just know how to save.
Yeah, they really do. So be prepared for a BYU run. If it's not this year, it's next year or the year after that.
Yeah.
Like, and it's in football too. A BYU wave is coming, folks. And then, Davis, I think this is maybe the pick of the week. The upset pick of the week.
Absolutely.
Is of the whole tournament, I should say, is UC San Diego, the newly Division I, I should say, UC San Diego. They just came up after their four-year transition period, which is so dumb that the NCAA makes people wait 4 years after transitioning from D2 to D1, is what it is. But they are a very good team. They won the Big West, I think it's called, right?
I believe you're right, yeah.
Yeah, the Big West. In their first year, they're a really good team. They can shoot the threes very well. And I believe they lead the nation in turnover percentage or turnover ratio or something like that. And then Michigan causes the most turnovers in the country. So naturally, a lot of people are pointing to Michigan's going to turn the ball over like 30 times and they're going to lose. Do you think that can happen, or can Michigan not look pretty dusty and keep it up? You know what I'm saying?
I think Michigan can definitely look dusty. And Ethan, I'll tell you this, this is the game I've flipped on, and I've 100% flipped on. Like, after hearing some things, and I look at this and I'm like, you know what? I looked at this Sunday night, this matchup, and I was like, look, San Diego, they were the hot team people were talking about. Michigan just came off a Big Ten win, title win. Like, Michigan's gonna win this game. Like, I don't even think it's gonna be close. Start doing some research, and I start looking into what's happened to the past few Big Ten tournament winners in the last few years. Not Purdue, good. 2 years ago, lost in the first round as a one seed. Illinois and Ohio State in 2021 both made the championship. That was the year Illinois lost in the second round to Loyola Chicago, and Ohio State lost to Oral Roberts. I now 100% have Michigan losing this game, especially because I'm hearing the fact that they turn the ball over more than any team in this entire bracket. UC San Diego just plays almost a flawless game. Their only deficiency is that they don't really have a true big man. And Michigan does. Michigan has a duo down there of big men.
I think they don't have a player on their team above 6'8", and Michigan has two players over 6'11".
Yes.
So
here's also my last tidbit. Every year there's one of these upsets where the people talk about it all week, and it ends up happening. Last year it was JMU Wisconsin. Everybody was talking about it. It ended up happening. I don't think this is a game where the public is wrong, because there's so many stats out there that are favoring San Diego. So I'm 100% on San Diego now.
Really? Okay. Because I talked to Davis last night and he was like, I'm all over Michigan. And I did some research today and I'm on Michigan. So this is a coin flip game, it feels like. I love your analogy of the Wisconsin James Madison game last year. This does feel exactly like that. And then there's also the added mystique of UC San Diego doesn't have a lot of D1 tape out there. They could come out and shoot the lights out on Michigan and possibly make a little run. Because in my first draft, I had them winning two games, and I was like, I'm losing my mind. I'm going to stop it right now. I kind of like your picks there. But let's move, Davis, to Thursday. Before we do that, actually, let's congratulate Mount St. Mary's on winning their first four game. They just beat American, and yep. now they get to get blown out by Duke. So congratulations to them.
Exactly.
Yes. And then speaking of Duke, their arch rival, UNC, they are going to play Ole Miss on Thursday afternoon.
Why are you saying first Thursday? It's Friday. Friday, Ethan.
I'm sorry. We're now on a Friday. We're on the 21st of March.
There you go.
And we're talking about the games on the 21st of March. So UNC versus Ole Miss. This is going to be a great game, Davis. I really do think so. Ole Miss is another one of these middle-of-the-road SEC teams who's gotten beaten down by the big dogs. But I did watch a decent round of the SEC tournament. I watched them play – was it Auburn?
Yes. Ole Miss lost to Arkansas. I'm sorry. They lost to Auburn. They beat Arkansas on buzzer beater.
They kept the game with Auburn pretty close, though.
Yes.
And they looked really good. They have a couple really dynamic guards. And it honestly reminds me a lot of the Texas Tech team that Chris Beard took to the Final Four in 2019. Yeah. I didn't even know where to go, to be honest. By the way, Chris Beard, bad guy. Really bad guy.
Yeah, bad guy.
Throw that out there. Really bad guy.
Let's talk about bad coaches, bad guys. Will Wade, Chris Beard.
Whoa. Will Wade did legal stuff at the time.
Will Wade's a bad guy.
I thought he just did like NIL stuff before NIL.
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
That's not bad.
He got caught. That makes him a bad guy.
It's legal now. That means he's a good coach.
Yeah.
He's 15 and 14.
He just quit on his team 24 hours before our game started.
But Will Wade and Chris Beard don't belong in the same category.
Fine.
Chris Beard beat his wife. So I'm going to pick UNC. I am going to pick UNC in this game, actually, because I really think UNC has something to prove now. They heard all of that noise. They blew the doors off of – who did they play last night?
San Diego State.
They blew the doors off of them. They were up 20 or 30 at halftime. They really look like they're going to play well. They played well down the stretch of the ACC tournament. They really should have beat Duke without Cooper Flagg. That was bad. They were down like, I want to say almost 20 with like 5 minutes left or something like that. And they just powered back. It was a really fun game. But they are a really high-powered team, Davis. They're not like threes. They're not playing defense. They're just going to punch you in the mouth. They remind me a lot of, like, you know, the Dukes the last couple of years that didn't have superstars. This is just like that UNC team. They do have RJ Davis, but it's not a lot of superstars. It's just guys making shots. They have the Trimble kid. He's pretty decent too, but I don't know. I think they're a well-coached team, and so is Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think it comes down to the hunger that's in their bellies, and I think the Tar Heels have something to prove.
Yeah, I've got the Tar Heels moving on here as well. They're actually favored in this game. We'll talk about
– how much?
A point and a half. We'll talk about our next game, the lower seed, higher seed being favored. But I'll tell you this little fun tidbit. 13 of the last 16 years, a first four team has made the round of 32. I think North Carolina is that team.
No, 100%.
So I think North Carolina takes that.
Ole Miss. There's a team tonight that I think could do that too. Texas is playing Xavier. And maybe I'm getting too deep into the NBA draft already, but I've heard Trey Johnson on Texas is a beast. And I'm just like, Texas could go on a run.
I keep hearing all these Texas basketball people talking about how, like, you can't drink the Kool-Aid with Texas. Like, it's Xavier's game to lose. Like, Texas.
Yeah. I watched a couple extra minutes of Trey Johnson in the SEC tournament, and I was like, the Sixers, though. So my bad. But let's go to the Colorado State-Memphis game. Colorado State is favored, right?
Yes, they are. 2.5
That's
points.
Crazy. But before we get to that, I just want to talk to you about something. You got a Memphis future, don't you?
I do, yeah. I put it on in like August.
How you feeling?
Not great, but only because of the injury to Tyrese Hunter, their starting point guard. That's the reason that they're not favored.
But they still have Haggerty, right?
They still have Haggerty, who's arguably the best scorer in all of college basketball this year.
He had 42 in a game they were losing, and they came back and won.
Yep. I've learned so much and I've done way too much research this week. I'll give you this tidbit about this game, especially the Mountain West. Mountain West teams that have been 10 seeded or higher are 0-24 in their last 24 games straight up. And that includes San Diego State last night. Yes. The Mountain West is a fraudulent joke of a conference when it comes to March Madness, except that one San Diego State run.
I was going to say, didn't they just go to the championship?
Except that. Do you know that the Mountain West only has like 6 tournament wins in the last 6 years, and 5 of them are from San Diego State that one year?
Really? I was going to say, doesn't Utah State have a couple with Musselman?
A few years ago. They won one game.
Oh, my God. Was that like 10 years ago?
It was a while ago.
That makes me feel so old. I'm
sorry. Anyway, this makes me want to take Memphis so bad and unbiasedly. So I am taking Memphis. I think Memphis wins this game. And I cannot wait to see the matchup of Memphis-Maryland in round 2. I think that's going to be a phenomenal game.
I have Colorado State just because I'm going to ride with our boy Jake Cusadas, who loves the Rams. Absolutely loves the Rams. And I watched a little bit of them in their Mountain West games when I was forced to wager on them. Not forced, but Jake told me it wasn't a miss, and he wasn't wrong. They won their tournament very easily. So I'm just gonna ride with Colorado State, seriously. And like, not to be a hater on your bet, I do wish for all good things, especially for my guy Penny Hardaway. It's hard to hate on that guy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Colorado State. This next one, I want to ask you about this one. St. Mary's versus Vandy. I didn't even really think about this one. I picked Vandy like right away.
No, I pick St. Mary's 100%. This is the best.
By the way, that was a total stupid pick by me.
The best defensive team in college basketball. They slow the pace so well, and they have not, unfortunately, shown their tournament like luck the last few years. They lost in the first round last year to Grand Canyon.
Yes.
But this St. Mary's team is just different than they have been the last few years, and they lost to Gonzaga in the –
I was going to say, isn't Gonzaga terrible? Like, how do they lose to Gonzaga?
No, Gonzaga is good. Gonzaga is good. Do you know Gonzaga is ranked 9th on KenPom right now?
Really? Good for Gonzaga. No idea. I knew they had that one Nemhard kid still, but I thought they were having a down year. And then
they were. Win-loss-wise, they absolutely were. But the St. Mary's team beat them twice in the regular season. I think St. Mary's is going to beat the living crap out of Vanderbilt. I don't think Vanderbilt knows what's coming to them, to be completely honest.
I just switched my pick on my bracket.
That is my – like, that's another one.
Lock of the week?
All in. Like if
Lock of the first round.
If you were to give me like 5 picks to be like, okay, like these are my favorite picks, St. Mary's minus 3.5 is 100% on that board.
Folks, you guys heard that. You heard what he said. You heard the promise that he made. And you better believe I'm going to clip this one. Please.
They'll lose by 15.
I love it. I love it. No, I agree. And then this next one, Marquette and New Mexico, Davis. Marquette is...
I hate both these teams, by the way.
Yeah, I hate Marquette a lot. But I will say that they are really underachieving this year, too. They were supposed to be a lot better than I think they were. I don't think they were supposed to have 10 losses.
Yeah,
I think they were probably supposed to be a higher seed, maybe even win the Big East, but they didn't. And now they have a really tough matchup here with New Mexico, Davis. Richard Pitino, absolute wagon of a coach. had a very funny PFT joke. I'm just going to keep in my brain, but a matchup with his dad would be crazy. But I really like New Mexico here because of spite a little bit. But I want you to talk me off the ledge if I need to.
I hate both these teams so much. There's a few games where
why do you hate
New that Mexico? Same stat I just gave you about? And the Mountain West is historically horrendous in this tournament.
I will say people do pick New Mexico a lot.
People have picked New Mexico in the last 2 years. One of the upset picks last year that everyone thought about was New Mexico over Clemson. Clemson ended up making the Elite Eight. I think that Marquette wins this game, but I think this is going to be one of the ugliest games of the day, maybe one of the ugliest games of the first round. I have Marquette
really
unwillingly. I don't want either of these teams to win.
But who will
win? I have Marquette winning because I'm fading the Mountain West with all my heart.
Okay. All right. This next one, though, I'm really curious about. A lot of people like Liberty. This is Liberty, Oregon, but a lot of people like Liberty. I haven't watched any Liberty, so I'm not even going to pretend, but I don't understand it because I thought Oregon was hot as nails at the end of the year. They were playing so well. Obviously, they kind of got their light extinguished versus the Spartans in the semifinal of the Big Ten tournament. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like that's the kind of loss Oregon probably needed. like to end their year. I think they had like an 8 or 9 game win streak. Like they probably needed something to like to right the path and like get back on track. And honestly, I think they can make a run here. I need to look at the bracket one more time, but I have them in the second round. So I'm sorry, not the second round, the Sweet 16. I have them losing to Duke. So
I'm in the same boat. The only thing with this Liberty team, this is a team kind of like McNeese, where this Liberty team actually shoots 40% from three as a team. Definitely scary. It's scary. There's a few teams
really
that are like that in recent history. I remember Wofford,
by the way,
was like that. They lost in the first round too. So, you know, I'm taking Oregon for a few different reasons, but my main reason is because of head coach Dana Altman. He is a tournament legend over the last 10 years. He always finds a way to get his team into the Sweet 16, and I do not disagree with that this year. I think that they beat this Liberty team. I think they beat them pretty handedly. I don't mind the Oregon -6.5, but I do think that they can definitely beat Arizona. It's a weak Arizona team. That'll
be a great game.
When Arizona cannot shoot the three, they have nothing going for them. So, and Oregon's a very good defensive team. So, I take Oregon in the same boat, losing to Duke in the Sweet 16.
Another fun fact. Did you know that Liberty's, like, stricter than BYU in, like, conduct? And, like, you can't hug at Liberty without getting fined?
Oh, yeah. The big thing
you
at
knew Liberty. That? I did not know that.
The big thing at Liberty
you can't is. Hug without getting fined.
The big thing at Liberty is, like, within a month of your freshman year, you're engaged. I'm not joking. That's
where,
like,
is it? Is it like Tennessee or something?
I forget if it's Virginia.
That's so weird. Yep.
Yeah, it's Google Virginia. Virginia.
All right. That's so weird.
Everybody gets engaged there very quickly.
Good to know. Poor Malik Willis. That's probably why he slipped to the third round. That's exactly what I thought of when I heard that. All right. Let's get to the region favorites, Davis. So I just took the screenshots of the top six teams to win each region. It's in my throat. And I just wanted to take a look at these and let the audience know, I guess, but also give you the chance to tell us who's fraudulent on these lists, Davis, because there's a couple teams we missed and a couple teams that I think you need to tell us who and who not to bet.
I'll tell you right now.
This is just like who's good in the region. We're not necessarily talking about straight up who's going to win the region.
You'll see very quickly that, and I'll tell you right now, and my bracket this year is very chalky. I've given you a few of the upset picks in the first round, but I don't think a lot of them move on very far. But I would say it's starting off in the South region. It sounds crazy because it's not – I mean, we see crazy stuff every year, but I really only see Auburn and Michigan State even having a chance.
It's so top heavy this year. It's crazy. Like
it is. It is.
And again, it feels like 2015 when like Kentucky was undefeated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was also Wisconsin and Duke that year, I believe. Was it Duke? I think so.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it's annoying because everybody's at the same stage right now where they're like upsets. Where's the upsets? Where's the upsets? You have to tell me where the upsets are. And there will be upsets. There probably will be an upset. We just talked about that or didn't talk about that is going to happen that everyone's going to be like, oh, that makes sense.
Right.
But regardless, we're going to talk about the Final Fours in a second. If you have the fourth one seed in the Final Four, this is the year to do it, right?
Yep. Okay. Yep. I agree. And it happened in 2011, the last time all four one seeds made a Final Four. So it has happened before. But in the South region, I did take Michigan State just out of pure value, just because I think that they have a pretty easy draw going into the Elite Eight potentially.
That's crazy.
When it comes to Auburn, especially because they could have some big upsets on their side of the bracket. Like, they're going to play Bryant, and then they're going to play the winner of Marquette, New Mexico, and then they're going to get either a banged-up Iowa State team without their starting point guard North Carolina team that's then – they've already played three games in the tournament over Michigan State's two. I don't know. I think Michigan State – had a great draw when it comes to getting to the Elite Eight. And I'm not telling you you're going to beat Auburn. I'm just telling you it's good odds at 5-1 to have a chance to beat Auburn.
I like it. And people are kind of doubting Auburn, even though the number one overall team, number one overall seed, all that stuff, because they lost a couple of games at the end of the year. But, I mean, this team beat everyone at the beginning of the season. And obviously that doesn't mean much, but that just showed you their potential. They probably could and will win this tournament. So, you know, let's not doubt them either, but I think it is fair to, like, you know, Michigan State, Auburn possibly having an Elite Eight. I think it's fair to maybe see just Michigan State in there. We'll see. We'll see. But, you know, Auburn, if you're looking at this book, is a minus 105 favorite to win the region, which I think is the lowest out of the region favorites.
No, Houston. Houston. Okay.
I did a quick scan. I didn't really want
to. We'll get to it, though.
We'll get to it, though. No, I like it a lot. My region winner, I also have Michigan State. But my Elite Eight, I have Michigan and Michigan State. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are picking Michigan, especially if Michigan if they get across San Diego. We'll see if they can get across San Diego. But I think that they are actually a team that matches up pretty well with Auburn. I think if any team matches up with Auburn, it needs to be with height. And Michigan can do that. So we'll see. And that's why a lot of people who are taking Creighton in the first round could be taking Creighton to beat Auburn. I have seen that as somewhat of a popular pick. But again, I think Louisville beats them. And I think Auburn beats Louisville. But I also think San Diego beats Michigan. So a lot of these potential upsets people are talking about, I just
that's
don't
the beauty
have
of the brackets,
I just
baby.
Don't have like, in my bracket.
Exactly. That's the best part of it when you hear these matchups and you're like, wait, oh no, I have both of them losing. Oh, my bad. So let's get to the West region, though. Florida, absolutely surging, bro. They have been, I mean, they're probably the team to beat. I know we're talking about Auburn. We're talking about Houston. We're going to talk about Duke in a second. Florida's so good. Like, they have an NBA-style offense. They have bigs that can shoot. They play aggressively, arguably had the hardest home court advantage most of the year, too.
Yeah,
Florida is surging, absolutely surging right now. But I think it's fair to say they have probably the hardest region, right?
Without a doubt. I think the West is by far the hardest region. And I'll tell you this. I think any of these top four teams can get there in Florida, St. John's, Texas Tech, and Maryland. It's so unfortunate that they're all on the same side because I actually would have liked Maryland to make a run. I actually would have liked St. John's to make a run. But I have Florida going through
here. St. John's can't shoot, but I agree.
I have Florida going through here because they are the best team in the country right now. I'm not saying they will be, and I'm not saying at the beginning of the season they were. Right now, they are the best team in the country. And I think that they match up well, actually, against all three of these teams. A Texas Tech team that's been a little banged up. St. John's team that really just on the defensive side is phenomenal, but offensively don't create much. And a Maryland team that only doesn't – they don't use the bench. They only use their starting five, and I think Florida could wear them out. So I think Florida gets through this region here.
You know what question I want to ask you?
What's that?
Do you have any idea?
Something about Maryland, Memphis. But
can UConn repeat?
No.
Can they do it? No,
I don't think so. I think they can. I know.
I just wanted to throw it out there because we need to bring their names up. I think we need to.
To be honest with you, like I could see them beating Florida. I could see the crazy Dan Hurley moment, but I don't see them. They don't have the team to win six games in a row, in my opinion.
No. Although that would make Dan Hurley everything that he says he is, and people will be eating their words for forever.
But then they would lose to Maryland. I'll tell you that, right?
It also sucks when you have a guy like Alex Caravan who can't create his own shot being your best player. Like, that guy works a lot better when he has, you know, Stephon Castle and Donovan Kling and Cam Spencer on his starting lineup. So, sucks for him. Boo-hoo, UConn. Boo-hoo. But I have Florida coming out of this region, too. Would love, honest. I'm not a Big East guy. I'm a Big East guy, but I'm not a St. John's guy. I'm sorry. I would like to see them go on a run. I just don't think they can shoot, unfortunately. Yep,
I agree. I have them going down to Texas Tech, actually, in the Sweet
16. They just trailed early in their last two Big East games because they couldn't shoot. But then they came back out of nowhere and, like, dominated both of those games. So I'm not really sure what to make of the Johnnies, and I'd rather stay away.
Agreed.
Let's go to the last two regions, Davis. The Midwest, starting with this one. This is a bit of a wonky-ass region, to be honest with you. I mean, Houston and Tennessee are about as, you know, solidified as one and two seeds as you get. No arguments there. But down the list, I mean, it's tough to find a team that you really like. And then if you really even want to look at the FanDuel odds I have up here, Gonzaga is the third favorite to win this region. And, I mean, you were just telling me Gonzaga is good, but they're not that good.
I think the only reason that's up there is because – like Gonzaga is going to have a chance to play Houston and
I get that.
And you never know what can happen. But this is actually probably my favorite bet to make on the winner of the regions of any of these regions would be Houston. just because you're getting a plus number.
Yeah, I thought that was a minus. That's why I was like,
no, oh. Yeah, you're getting plus number with them. And to be honest with you, and you'll see it in a second, I think that they are the best team in the country. I think that they play a style of defense. And people will say, oh, they've disappointed the last few years. No, they just won the Big 12 this year, and they lost one game in conference that went to overtime. I think that this Houston team is way underrated, even at 8-1 odds to win the whole thing, or even plus 125 to win this region. Tennessee is a team that plays incredibly slow. They do not have an offensive, great defense. That's
and their coach cannot make it past the fucking Elite Eight.
That's the team that Houston matches up so well against, because they play a very similar game, but they have a much better offense. So I would love to see a Houston-Tennessee Elite Eight, which is what that'd I have in my bracket. And I think that over-under would be 119.5. I kid
I
you
love not. That.
That would be that my would, that'd be my guess.
That would be awesome.
And I'll take the under.
Yeah, I would also take the under. That would be a fun bet. But yeah, I don't really know what to expect. The only thing I have come that's kind of surprising is I did have McNeese, but now that we've talked about that, I'm switching it to Clemson. But the one thing I do think is the winner of this Texas Xavier game will be Illinois.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth, but I just want to see who wins first. And I'm going to watch that game. You're going to watch that game. And I think Xavier does it. I think Xavier can beat Illinois. And
I'm going to bet on Texas. You,
I think Xavier can beat Kentucky. We'll see. I'm not positive yet, but you know, these first four games do have like drama to them. Look at a few years ago, UCLA just made a Final Four a few years ago from being in a play-in. So
I forgot about that.
There is something about it where you're getting an extra game and you're kind of getting warmed up a little bit. And getting that first win under your belt. If Texas win by 20 today, I'll tell you the exact opposite. Who knows? But I do have Xavier winning, and I think Xavier could make a run. They're very deep and very tenured.
I like it. But speaking of UCLA, are they going to beat Utah State?
Great question. I've been flipping a little bit on this one, but I have UCLA.
Go ahead. Do it right now.
UCLA, because Utah State's in the Mountain West.
Okay,
all right,
fair.
That's my reasoning, seriously.
All right, now I'm switching my pick now. All right, the last one.
You're switching all your picks. You're going to blame me. The second Utah State wins by 20, you're going to be like, oh, but you said this.
I'm glad you picked up on it. All right, now to the East Region. The East Region, I just want you to explain to me why Duke's going to win.
Because they have the best starting five in college basketball.
Correct. And why are they going to win the national championship?
I don't think they will, but I just think the one thing holding them back is not having enough experience later in the tournament. So that's my only thing. I hate Duke. I hate Duke with a passion. I cannot stand Duke.
My
Ohio State football of football is Duke. Like, seriously.
Like, there's nothing there this year. Like, Cooper Flagg is – he's great. Like, it's hard to hate
I know.
Him. Like,
I know, but I, you know.
Well, unless Con Canupo, like, trips somebody, like, Grayson Allen style first game, then I'm in. I'm hating Duke, you know.
But Duke is minus 140, though, because of their draw. They are in arguably the easiest region, in my opinion, especially if Alabama goes down early, which they can, depending on their shooting, because they just shoot the lights out, or they shoot nothing. They could lose to anybody.
Wisconsin can be scary, though. That's the thing. Wisconsin can be scary. The winner of a potential Oregon Arizona game would be scared of Duke too.
But all in all, seeds 2-16, this is the easiest conference. This is the easiest bracket side.
The only thing I will say is that they could fall into problem with is Cooper Flagg's injury. Is 100%. they either wait too long to play him, like he doesn't play the first two games, and they're like, all right, maybe he's not going to play the third game, and then they lose to a Oregon or Arizona, or they lose round two to a Baylor because they don't have Cooper Flagg, or he comes back and is not, you know, 100%.
Yeah, agreed. I have Duke going through to the Final Four here.
I do too.
I would say if you were looking at a crazy, crazy team,
St. Mary's.
Down at St. Mary's, I would not bet him, but I think St. Mary's is a team they
got. $5 on it.
If they get through Vanderbilt, I think they're a team that matches up really well with Alabama. And then once you get to the Sweet 16, you never know.
You really do never know. All right, Davis, let's get to our picks.
Love it.
So we've already kind of talked about this the entire time, but I have Duke winning, you Houston winning. But let's look at our Final Fours. We both have Duke, and we both have Florida. But that's it. I have Tennessee winning the West, and then you have Michigan State winning
Tennessee winning the Midwest, and Michigan State.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean.
You clearly have anyway, research.
I don't have the regions down there. But yeah, so we do have Auburn and Duke and Florida as our consistencies. But why did you pick Houston to beat Duke? That's, I know we just talked about it, but like, why Duke versus Houston?
I think experience. And I'll take Kelvin Sampson as a coach over John Shire. John Shire just doesn't have the tournament experience. I think this
now Houston, that's something to watch out for. I like that.
This Houston team does. I do think this Houston team matches up well with Duke, especially when it comes to Cooper Flagg and having height and having athleticism. I think this Houston team can definitely beat Duke and make it to the tournament, make it to the championship. And obviously I have them as my champion, but we'll go on the left side. I assume you're going to ask about the left side of the Final Four too.
Go ahead.
I have Auburn beating Michigan State. I just think this Michigan State team is so streaky that shooting wise that this Auburn team can match up well. And Michigan State doesn't have the big to defend against Janai Broom, arguably the second best player in college basketball this year. But we're in agreement on Florida, best team in college basketball right now. So as you see right here, I've got all 4-1 seeds. That's probably a crime. You can't really, I don't know. I don't really want to stick my face out.
Bad. I don't even like having like 1 versus 2s in both of my Final Four matchups. It's I almost put Iowa State in there, but I couldn't because of their star player being out. But this is a weird one. This is a weird year. I mean, everyone's saying it's chalky, everyone's saying it's top heavy, which makes me think that it's not.
I get that.
We never know. But the reasoning I do have Michigan State here is it feels like we're gonna get like a big streak broken this year. It feels like something new that hasn't happened in a while is going to happen. And I could see a Big Ten team going far, especially to the Final Four. And the last one to do it was the Michigan State Spartans, so why not them to break the drought? I just think Tom Izzo is doing a masterclass of coaching this year. They were supposed to be better than they have been the last couple of years, but I think he's done so well with his limited resources. And by the way, Jace Richardson from Michigan State is one of the most electric players in this tournament. He's Jason Richardson, the former Sixer and Warrior. He's his son, and he is a beast. He's a left-handed kid. He can do it all. He's going to be a really fun player to watch blossom through March Madness. And then I also want to just say, I know we talked about it a little bit, but I really want to see Cooper Flagg in March Madness just to see how he elevates his game, how he, you know, plays with a national media, a national broadcast, national audience watching him, all that stuff. This is the true test of whether this kid's going to be the next Wemby. You know, we'll see.
Yep, agreed. No, I don't disagree with your Final Four because those, actually, funny enough, those are the picks, those are the sides that I were going back and forth on too, whether to pick Michigan State or Auburn or whether to go with Houston and Tennessee. So obviously I just unfortunately, maybe fortunately, flipped on what you did. But
I also think we're going to get 2 SEC teams this year. SEC is hot, and I think that we might see 2 SEC teams in the Final Four. But
Agreed. And that,
2 SEC teams plus a Big Ten team feels like a recipe for disaster.
It does. Yeah. So that's why I went Big 12 and ACC. Fade the Big Ten also, possibly. This year. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, don't follow my picks or my Final Four. But
I wouldn't follow mine either. I don't know.
Okay, all right. Yeah, don't listen to ours. Honestly, find your like most isolated friend that's never heard of college basketball and be like, here, do.
Yep.
And they'll be like, but I don't know anything. And you have to convince them that's better.
Caitlin's making a bracket. Caitlin's making a bracket tonight. And whatever her
final send it to me?
I will. Once she sends it, I'm immediately sending it around saying this is actually my bracket from now.
I'm gonna change all my picks.
She's gonna have Bryant beating Michigan State and, like, because their dog looks cute, and I'm gonna be like, yeah, you know what, you're right. They are better.
SIE Edwardsville is gonna win the whole thing. SIUE.
But agreed. Sometimes too much research is a bad thing, in my opinion. Seriously. So I think just looking a little bit more in broad view, picking out some stats that you like. Some that I like are how good the defensive side of the ball is, and what conference you play in are definitely big factors for me for tie-breaking situations like UCLA, Utah State.
Yeah, makes sense to me. I like it. Davis, I'm so excited for tomorrow. We get games starting at 12:15 Eastern time, going until we go to bed, and then it starts the next day.
Yeah.
And we're and here. Then the next day, it's all day. And then the next day. And then there's a little break. So the one thing I want to say is there's going to be a little break. It's like doing a bunch of going on that bender for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
And you're ready. And you just want to keep going. You know, real life's going to show up again. So drink it in. Enjoy Thursday and Friday. Seriously. Enjoy Thursday and Friday. It's going to be gone before you know it. Right, Davis?
Agreed.
Yeah. All right, guys. We love you guys. Like, subscribe, share, send it to your friends or don't. All that stuff. Instagram, all that stuff below. We'll see you.